The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we've got some music and a bit more today. We're going to have, we do have a few members of the cast of the Rantoul Theatre Group's production of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, which opens next week. We'll hear a couple of short scenes from there. And the bulk of the program will be a conversation with and lots of music sung by the great Canadian tenor Ben Heppner, who is going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow evening in recital with pianist Thomas Morocco. That's a 7:30 program. Hope you'll look forward to it. It's Live and Local here on FM 90.9. That was music by Felix Mendelssohn from his incidental music to Shakespeare's play, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Music almost as famous as the play, I'm willing to guess, and that's one of the most popular portions from it, probably next to the Wedding March and the overture, the Scherzo, and heard in a performance by the Montreal Symphony led by Charles Dutoit. The Rantoul Theatre Group is presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream. Starting next week, performances are running this May 6th through the 15th. And we have with us three of the cast members, three of the most important cast members. Chief, the king and queen of the fairies, and also this interesting character of Puck. So we have Oberon, played by Dave Heckman. Titania is Cynthia McIntyre, and Puck is Krista Luders. And I'm curious if you know how Rantoul Theatre Group decided to do some Shakespeare. It's something that I wouldn't have expected. I don't know why.
I'm not sure either.
I think this is the first Shakespeare play they've done in Rantoul. Mm-hmm. And we've done a lot of different types of shows, and so I think it was just time that we finally went back to probably the best playwright ever and do one of his more popular comedies for the spring.
Yeah, I would think comedy would be important. Yes. You wouldn't want to go straight into King Lear or something like that.
Or Hamlet or something. Or
gradually work our way toward Macbeth.
And, Macbeth, where everyone dies.
Othello.
And Mike Nelson is directing this
yes.
one,
correct.
Right? And so tell us briefly some sort of synopsis of the play for somebody who doesn't know it.
Well,
if you can briefly.
It's a giant soap opera. It's a quadrangle of, even I'm so kind of unclear about how these love affairs kind of work out. I don't know, one of you.
Revenge plots and so it's really a one big revenge plot, isn't it?
Well, sort of. It starts out with two young couples. You have Hermia and Helena, who are the women, and then Lysander and Demetrius. And both Lysander and Demetrius both like Hermia. Helena likes Demetrius. Hermia likes Lysander, but Hermia's father wants her to marry Demetrius.
These even sound like soap opera names.
It's just crazy. It's
huge
crazy.
Soap opera. Yeah.
But anyway, the four of them eventually end up in the forest where the fairy king and queen are fighting over this little Indian boy that the fairy queen has adopted. And so the fairy king, Oberon, decides to take his revenge on Titania and finds this flower. The juice, if you put it on somebody's eyes, will make that person fall in love with the next live thing that he or she sees. And then Oberon tells Puck to also bewitch Demetrius to fall in love with Helena. But Puck is mischievous, and so she douses the wrong boy who falls in love with the wrong girl, and then everybody's running through the forest trying to figure out what's going on.
And interesting,
that may be enough, actually.
it's pretty crazy.
Dave?
Oh, well, another interesting twist in the plot is when I anoint Titania's eyes, The next thing she happens to see is one of these actors in the play who happens to have a donkey's head on him, and she thinks she's fallen in love with a donkey. So it's
a little crazy.
Another little interesting twist in the comedy. So
yeah, and I know the U of I just did a production of this, and I didn't get to see it, but apparently it's kind of risque and so on. Mm. I'm guessing
yes,
yours
ours
is
will
not.
Be much more of a family version of the show.
It's a family.
Very G-rated.
Yes.
So I know we've got a couple of short scenes. Why don't we launch right in? What's the setup? Brief setup to this first one.
Well, Oberon sees Titania sleeping with this guy who's dressed as a donkey, and he sort of is now taking pity on her, so he decides he's going to release her from the spell that she's under.
Since she's descended just so low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome, good Robin. Seest thou this sweet sight? Her dotage now I do begin to pity. I did then ask her changeling child, which straight she gave me, and her fairy sent to bear him to my bower in fairyland. And now I have the boy. I will undo this hateful imperfection in her eyes. And gentle Puck, take this transformed scalp from off the head of this Athenian swain, that he awaking when the other do, may all to Athens back again repair, and think no more of this night's accidents, but as the fierce fixation of a dream. But first I will release the fairy queen. Be as thou wast wont to be, see as thou wast wont to see, Dian's bud over Cupid's flower hath such force and blessed power. Now, my Titania, wake you, my sweet queen.
My Oberon? What visions have I seen? Methought I was enamored of an ass.
There lies your love.
How came these things to pass? Oh, how mine eyes do loathe his visage now.
Silence a while. Robin, take off this head. Titania, music call, and strike more dead than common sleep of all these five the sense.
Music, ho, music such as charmeth sleep.
Now, when thou wakest with thine own fool's eyes peep.
Sound music. Come, my queen, take hands with me, and rock the ground whereon these sleepers be. Now thou and I are new in amity, and will tomorrow midnight solemnly dance in Duke Theseus's house triumphantly, and bless it to all fair prosperity. There shall the pairs of faithful lovers be wedded with Theseus all in jollity.
Fairy king, attend and mark, I do hear the morning lark.
Then my queen in silence said, trip we after the night's shade. We the globe can compass soon, swifter than the wandering moon.
Come, my lord, and in our flight, tell me how it came this night, that I sleeping here was found with these mortals on the ground.
And somewhere there, cue for Mendelssohn's music is what I sort of heard. And I was trying to figure out what would be the next music that would come there. And I should know, but I don't. Right, so that's Dave Heckman as Oberon, Cynthia McIntyre as Titania or Titania, and Crystal Luters as Puck, also known as Robin. Is that the same?
Robin Goodfellow,
Robin
yes.
Robin Goodfellow, that's right. That's from the Rantoul Theatre Group's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare. And we have another one?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, this next scene is the very last scene of the play. It's after we've been to the wedding and danced, and it's just the final hurrah before talking to the fairies.
So we're not really giving anything away.
No.
And anyway, lots of people have read the play, so.
Yeah, yep.
Now the hungry lion roars, and the wolf behowls the moon. Whilst the heavy plowman snores, all with weary tasks foredone. Now the wasted brands do glow, whilst the screech owl screeching loud puts the wretch that lies in woe in remembrance of a shroud. Now it is the time of night that the grave's all gaping wide. Every one lets forth his sprite in the churchway paths to glide. And we fairies that do run by the triple hectate's team from the presence of the sun, following darkness like a dream. Now our frolic, not a mouse shall disturb this hallowed house. I am sent with broom before to sweep the dust behind the door.
Through the house give gathering light by the dead and drowsy fire. Every elf and fairy sprite hop as light as bird from briar. And this ditty after me, sing and dance it trippingly.
First rehearse your song by rote, to each word a warbling note. Hand in hand with fairy grace will we sing and bless this place.
Now until the break of day, through this house each fairy stray, to the best bride bed will we, which by us shall blessed be, and the issue there create ever shall be fortunate. So shall all the couples three ever true in loving be, and the blots of nature's hand shall not in their issue stand, never mole, hair, lip, nor scar, nor mark prodigious such as are, despised in nativity, shall upon their children be. With this field do consecrate, every fairy take his gate, and each several chamber bless through this palace with sweet peace. And the owner of it blessed ever shall in safety rest. Trip away, make no stay, meet me all by break of day.
If we shadows have offended, think but this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear, and this weak and idle theme, no more yielding but a dream. Gentiles, do not reprehend. If you pardon, we will mend. And, as I am an honest puck, if we have unearned luck, now to scape the serpent's tongue, we will make amends ere long. Else the puck a liar call. So, good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends.
Thus ends A Midsummer Night's Dream. Shortest version of the play we ever heard.
Yeah.
Two scenes from the Ranchville Theater Group's production, which opens next week. So it's two weekend performances?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Friday, Saturday evenings and Sunday matinee. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And for more information and tickets, you can go to rtgonline.org and you can look at the season that has already happened. And then this is the final production of the season? Or is a summer production also?
No, I believe there won't be another one until October. We're taking the summer off, but then there will be one in October and one in December.
Fair enough, and you can check that out on the website as well. Dave Heckman, Cynthia McIntyre, Krista Luters, thanks very much for joining us, and hope you have a great show.
Thank you.
It's live and local on FM 90.9. We do want to say thanks to the 946 listeners who called in pledges of support in our recent spring pledge drive. Your participation made our spring membership campaign a quite large success. You raised over $125,000 to support WYLL. If you missed our pledge week, you can still help WYLL reach our April campaign goal, which, of course, we need to do by the end of the week, with an online contribution at willpledge.org. Stay tuned next for a conversation with Canadian tenor Ben Heppner, who will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow evening. We just heard tenor Ben Heppner in a tune that I'm sure is familiar to many who are opera lovers and many who aren't necessarily. Music by Giacomo Puccini from his opera Turandot or Turandot, depending upon how you want to pronounce it, called Nessun Dorma. He was with the Munich Radio Symphony Orchestra conducted by Roberto Abbado. And as much to the point, he's going to be in Urbana tomorrow night at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, and even more to the point, he's with me on the telephone right now. So we're actually doing this a little beforehand. And are you at home at the moment?
I am indeed at home, yes.
And home is?
I live in Toronto in Ontario, Canada. And I say someone has to live here. So actually, it's a really good place, except I am not really impressed with the weather these days.
Oh, well, it's no better here right now, let me tell you. Nor is it going to be when you get here, I'm sorry to say. It's just kind of dreary. And so you'll perk things up for people.
Well, we hope so.
You know, I often, when I first start talking to somebody on the phone, before I turn the microphone on, just by way of getting a sound check, I often will say, tell me the first part of your life story. So why don't you tell me the first part of your life story?
I was born in the southern British Columbia, near to Vancouver, and raised in a place called Dawson Creek. It has nothing to do with that television show. And so I grew up there from, you know, about age 3 till 17 when I left for my college education. My musical training is mostly, at that point, family and church. Those are sort of the two, you know, points of musical, sort of connection for me. So that's how I got, and when I went off to university, I started studying music.
And where did you go to university?
University of British Columbia, which is in Vancouver, B.C., and It's one of the most gorgeous campuses you'll find anywhere, and just had a great time.
And did you know it? I mean, were you? You said study music. Were you studying voice immediately? Did you know that that's what you were going to do?
Well, when I went in, the intention was that I should be a music teacher because that's the only way I'd seen anybody make a decent living as a musician. You know, in where I grew up anyway, was the the school music teacher. So that's what I went there for. But I'm easily distracted. And by the end of my first 3 weeks or so, I had auditioned for the voice performance program, and for the top quality chamber music choir with 12 people in it. And what all of that meant was I was no longer involved in a program that would allow me to teach in schools.
Mm.
So I've always been grateful for that, although I really didn't understand that at the time.
And at what point did somebody tell you or did you figure out that, gee, I've got a voice?
Well, you know, I kept singing, and I got a lot of solos and things like that around the Vancouver area, you know, doing Bach this and Handel that, Monteverdi Vespers, for example. And when I finished university, and, well, I had one course to take that I was still missing after 4 years. The way I put it is I managed to compress 4 years of education into five. And I went off to Montreal with the idea I had a one French course to complete my degree, and that you could take that at almost any university in the world. And I was offered a job in a chamber choir in Montreal. And so I finished that course. And that year, I also entered a major competition, which I ended up winning in. It's called the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation Talent Festival. And now it's been renamed, but in May of 1979, I won that competition. And that's an important thing for me because it was that win that gave me the courage to finally breathe out loud, I want to be a performer. And then I started being much more intentional in my choices.
And did you know that you wanted to be an opera performer or just a vocal performer?
No, I really didn't like opera at that point. I didn't really understand it, I think. And so I started, thinking I'd be, recitals and concerts and things. And quite soon I realized there's not much of a living doing that, particularly north of the 49th. And so it was about 2 years I started in Montreal, and I started to think, I need to expand the tools on my tool belt, So I thought maybe if I added opera, it would be another way I could start making a living. And people were telling me that I had an operatic voice. So I moved to Toronto, went to the opera school in the University of Toronto for 1 year, and from there I was hired into the training ensemble of the Canadian Opera Company. And I worked for a couple of years, had a couple of, about 3 years, rather wandering around the desert. And then in 88, I won the Metropolitan Opera competition, and that was sort of like a new beginning for me, and everything changed from that moment onwards.
Yeah, I think that when people win that thing, that a lot of people end up saying what you just said, that kind of determines where they're going.
Yeah, it was. I went from basically having almost no work to having more work than I could possibly handle, and it was night and day.
So how do you when you do something like that, when you go from nothing to everything, or as you said, too much, how do you keep yourself from burning out quickly? I mean, there's so many people who are well-known initially and then disappear because they either shoot their voices or because they can't handle the stress or the career or whatever. How did you manage to...
Well, I mentioned about those 3 years of being in the desert. Those are very important years to me because I sort of took a bit of a hiatus from the opera career, from going after a music career. There had been a difficult situation professionally at the opera company that kind of made me pull back. And It was those years that actually where I matured. I matured vocally, physically, so that I could handle more different repertoire. I even talk about maturing spiritually and emotionally, so that at the end of that, when I did finally win the Metropolitan contest, I was a lot different person than I had been a few years before, so I had a little more solid grounding. That was helpful. And also, I have very, you know, I already had three children by then. I've been married for 9 years. The friends I have around me are really supportive. And I also, the other thing I think that helped sustain me, and I know this is going to sound completely the antithesis of what I've just said, was I also carried with me a good dose of naivete, where I just kind of was a little bit overwhelmed by everything, and everything was new and fresh, so I went into a wide-eyed, and everything was fine. I'm already in my 30s at this point. And then, at a certain point, that changed, and I realized that I was purposely keeping a certain naivete. And then I finally realized, no, I can't do that anymore. I have to face it. But by then, I had some experience, and I had more of a routine established. By the time I got to my, 35, 36 years old, things were starting to settle in. And so it was, it was a combination of things and having people to help, my teachers and coaches who knew the business, that they helped keep my feet on the ground.
We're talking with tenor Ben Heppner here on Live and Local. He's going to be at the Kranert Center in Urbana tomorrow night, a concert at 7:30, a recital of songs, actually. And you've gotten to be known as one of the few Helden tenors, I guess, people who can actually manage these really huge, heroic composers like Richard Wagner and Richard Strauss. And yet I discovered in preparing for this interview that you have sung an awful lot of other things that one yes. wouldn't expect from a Helden tenor. And I wanted to play it a couple of those, including one that I think people will recognize, but I would have had no idea that you did. It comes off of your album called My Secret Heart, Songs of the Parlor, Stage, and Silver Screen. And there's all kinds of songs here that I didn't know, but one that I certainly did by Sammy Fain, if that's how he says his last name, I'll Be Seeing You.
Is it I'll See You Again? Is that
I'll Be Seeing You, yeah.
I'll Be Seeing You, sorry. I knew there was a C in there.
Yeah. Oh, so opera singers forget their words too.
Oh, boy. In every language, we forget our words.
What made you decide to put this disc together?
Well, I had this contract with BMG that we were doing a lot of, very serious recital repertoire, opera repertoire, and I felt that I wanted to do something that was a little more approachable. So I came up with the concept that I would be doing music that my mother listened to. So my mother was born 1910, and up till the point that I arrived, which was 1956, and she probably didn't hear the radio from that moment onwards. So there was a whole, wonderful bunch of music we could choose from. And I'm not going to choose, really, really popular things. I'm going to choose things that people use their trained voices to sing. So the earliest piece on that particular disc, I think, is Roses of Picardy. And the latest thing is Be My Love, which was, was composed probably in the early 50s, but became more famous because of Mario Lanza and in his 1956 movie, which was, I think, Toast of New Orleans. So we came up, so I had some help, people helping me choose some of the repertoire, and they came up with some great things. And I think the disc is probably the third or perhaps fourth iteration of repertoire. I love the music that they first came up with, but it wasn't as didn't have a good pacing. I felt it was too slow. So after a couple of tries, we think we got it right. We have some, we have some faster, more energetic pieces, and also some more laid back. And I think it's my best program disc.
Mm. Well, it's certainly wonderful music and wonderful singing, and rather unexpected if you're used to hearing Ben Heppner in Wagner and Strauss. Here's Music of Saming Fain, Ben Heppner with the London Philharmonic, conducted by Jonathan, does he say Tunick or Tunick? Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music by Sammy Fain is called I'll Be Seeing You from the disc My Secret Heart, Songs of the Parlor, Stage, and Silver Screen with tenor Ben Heppner, who's my guest here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in recital tomorrow night at 7:30. And doing music by Edvard Grieg, Jean Sibelius, and Tchaikovsky. And those are three other composers I'm willing to bet that most listeners who know something of your performances wouldn't have expected you to be doing. How did you pick that program?
Well, I discovered this set of Grieg songs. It's Opus 48, I believe. And they were things that he had composed, I think, when he was studying in, and I hope I'm not wrong about this, Leipzig. He was studying in Germany. And they're based on poems that many German school children had to memorize these poems. They're very famous, each one of them. And so he has this great set. They're terrific for any voice. They're a wonderful starting group. And the first one is called Gruß, or Greeting. And it just has six really wonderful songs. It makes an excellent start. And then the Sibelius, now, of course, Finnish composer, but because he wrote most of his vocal things in Swedish. I do them all in Swedish, even though I think one of them was actually a Finnish text that he set. But just to keep an integrity and also to keep me from having to learn how to pronounce Finnish, the Sibelius, then they work beautifully. You'll often hear, you would have heard Birgit Nielsen or Jussi Björling or many of the, Nikolai Jedda sing this kind of repertoire. And
I actually hadn't known that
Tchaikovsky Tchaikovsky is fantastic. Yeah. Gives the pianist a real workout in a couple of the pieces, and they're just really wonderful, satisfying pieces to listen to.
And your pianist's name is Thomas. How does he say
Thomas
his last
Morocco.
Name? Morocco. And I knew Tchaikovsky wrote songs. I didn't actually know that Sibelius wrote any, and I certainly didn't know that he wrote in Swedish.
Well, I mean, there's a long history between Sweden and Finland, and the Finns are not always so, nice about it, because there was a certain feeling that the Swedes were, being a little over-dominating. But the educated Finnish person back a number of years ago always spoke Swedish, and even now I think most of them do as well. And so that's where he came to the language.
And just so that folks who are big opera fans know, there will be some opera arias on your recital.
I'm going to, and the ones I've got chosen at the moment, I just sort of left it open-ended in the program. But I'll do Winterstürme from Die Walküre, and I think we do Comme une belle die from the fourth act of Andrea Chenier, and then I finish with Au Souverain, Au Juge, Au Père from Le Cid by Jules Massenet.
So you're covering a number of different languages, and that is always a mystery. Well, not so much a mystery to me, because I have to do it to a degree as a classical radio host. But how do you learn so many different languages, and what do you do with those where you know how to pronounce, but you don't necessarily know what you're singing without
like,
giving
example, Russian.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
Yes, because this is one of those horrible things to admit, I don't read Cyrillic, even though my father was born in Russian, in Ukraine, when it was still Russia back in in the early part of the 20th century. And so I don't actually read Cyrillic, so I have to work off of a transliteration. And so you just have to work at it, and hopefully you come up with something that's a reasonable quality version of Russian. Swedish is kind of Germanic in a lot of ways. You know, they have umlauts, and there's a few differences, but it's easier to get. And of course, I have German. I do a lot because of all my Wagner. French is fairly natural because we do study it in Canada. Although I'm still better at German than I am at French, it's still part of my world. So languages are just part of an opera singer's career.
But what about I've always wondered about the memorization of these long operas in a language that you haven't studied, to know it, to read it, and so on, you know, where you do have to get sort of go on a translation that you're probably given.
I have to say, I can generally do it, but the one I really, really struggle with, the language I really, really struggle with, is Russian. And I have a terrible time memorizing Russian, and I quite often I have to use something to help me along. And it's just one of those things where sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. We do have this wonderful disc of yours on RCA called German Romantic Opera, the number of things that do have Wagner and Beethoven, actually, and Weber. But they also have this fellow named Korngold, who has written one of the most beautiful violin concertos ever written. But this is from an opera of his that I don't know, though I've heard the name of for a long time, Die Tote Stadt. What does that mean?
The Dead City.
That's what I thought. And what is it? What's the story behind that, briefly?
Oh, boy. This guy's wife has died. Paul's wife has died, I think. Now, I've not ever sung the opera. I've seen it. So I'm a little fuzzy about the whole story, but he... fixes on this young woman named Marietta as being, he somehow almost confuses her between his departed wife and her, and focuses a lot on her, so it's a rather awkward moment. You'll often hear sopranos do this. The piece that I do on that disc is called O Freund, ich werde Sie nicht wiedersehen, O Friend, I will never see you again. And Marietta's lead is done frequently by sopranos and incorporates the same tune, but really it's more of a duet. So I've just kind of pushed back at it and made it a little bit of a solo for the tenor.
Well, let's give it a listen. From Die Tote Stadt, the Dead City, by Erich Korngold. It's Ben Heppner, the tenor, with the North German Radio Symphony, conducted by Donald Runnicles, who is a great opera conductor himself. And, and I'm actually going to correct that. No, he is conducting this piece, sorry.
He is conducting it,
yep. He is this one, yep. And Ben Heppner will be in recital at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night. We're talking to him here on Live and Local. That was tenor Ben Heppner with the West Coast Mennonite Chamber Choir, the Jimmy Brown song, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Mr. Heppner will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana in recital with pianist Thomas Morocco, music by Grieg, Sibelius, Tchaikovsky, and some opera excerpts as well. You know the baritone Nathan Gunn?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well, he's from these parts. He lives here in Champaign,
Urbana. And I think he teaches down at the University of Southern Illinois.
Yep, yeah. Well, University of Illinois, that's a campus you're going to be on.
Yes, indeed.
And he's right here. But he told me one time, in reference to his own operatic experiences, you know, he doesn't have an enormous voice, but he was telling me one time that some of the people who sing on the stage of the Met, he said, their voices are huge. And I think that's a direct quote with about the same inflection. And if you're going to sing Wagner, you got to be one of those singers. How do you maintain your voice?
Well, I don't necessarily look upon my voice as being, huge and in the way that, somebody like Birgit Nielsen's voice was huge. Men's voices in general, there are some big ones. I mean, I would take as an example John Vickers. He had a massive voice. But mostly what you need is more of a concentrated voice. And to keep it front and focused rather than try to, because if you sound big to yourself, you're not doing it right. You'll find yourself working at cross purposes. So you have to keep it just healthy and out front and have a lot of that sort of buzz you sometimes hear on an operatic voice. We call it squealo. And it's like little sort of a bells on the edge of the tone that carry it forward, and no matter how big the house is, your voice should carry through. So it's not so much a matter of quantity as quality, yes, but I mean maybe one could describe it as concentrated.
Well, I was going to end this conversation with one of your big Wagner pieces, but I just changed my mind, partly because you said you love this CD you did, My Secret Heart, so well, and I really love these songs. And I thought this would be the opening song from that disc would be maybe a nice, at some level, has to be a theme for your life. It's a song by Charles Gilbert Sprosse. Is that how he says his name?
I guess, yes.
Let All My Life Be Music.
Yes. Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful piece. And when I was introduced to it, I said, oh, this is a perfect one because it gives kind of an expansive just joy of life and something that I have enjoyed putting on some of my orchestral programs.
And where does this come from? Parlor, stage, or screen?
I cannot give you much detail. It's just a piece that I really loved.
Well, I'll look it up in the notes and tell people after we hear it.
Wonderful.
Ben Heppner, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
He's going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow night at 7:30 in recital with pianist Thomas Morocco. Songs by Grieg, Sibelius, and Tchaikovsky, and some operatic arias as well. But this is by Charles Gilbert Sprosse from his disc called My Secret Heart, Let All My Life Be Music, on Live and Local. Ben Heppner, music by Charles Gilbert Sprosse, born in Poughkeepsie, New York. And according to the notes here, that's just a song he wrote, kind of a parlor song, doesn't belong to film or anything else, and sung with the London Philharmonic Orchestra here, Jonathan Tunick, or Tunick, not sure how he says that name, here on Live and Local. Really enjoyed the conversation with Ben Heppner, hope you did as well. And maybe you'll have a chance to go hear him at the Krannert Center tomorrow night at 7:30. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And quick look at our calendar. Lots of things on it, so maybe not so quick. There's a children's program from an Italian group, Virtual Playground. TPO Virtual Playground, it's called. Looks rather fascinating. It's going to be at the Krannert Center today at 4 o'clock, tomorrow at 5 and 6. And I think that's it. University of Illinois University and Campus Bands are at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater continues its production of The Light in the Piazza, a musical that's tonight through Saturday at 8 o'clock. Parkland Jazz Improv is at, I just lost my eyes on this calendar here, is the Iron Post tonight in Urbana at 5 o'clock. And the live Irish Music Session is at Bentley's Pub in Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. Spencer Stokes plays at Café Andiamo in Springfield tonight at 5 o'clock. There's a Carnatic Vocal Concert of Indian Music at the Illini Union on the U of I campus in Urbana tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow, it's a UI Jazz Combo led by Tito Carrillo at the Iron Post at 7 o'clock. That's in Urbana again. La Calisto, the opera, early music opera, is at the Tryon Festival Theater in Urbana, at the Krannert Center, Thursday through Sunday. And in fact, we'll be talking with somebody involved with that tomorrow. Also on tomorrow's show, we have some members of the Center for World Music Spring Concert, which is happening on Saturday. More about that tomorrow. Eastern Illinois University Jazz Ensemble performs at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston tomorrow night at 7:30. It's Into the Woods from the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company. It opened last week and continues this week, Thursday through Saturday, at the Parkland Theater in Champaign. The Singing Redbirds Concert is at Illinois State University's Kemp Recital Hall at in Bloomington. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and Chi-Town give their spring concert of a cappella music at the Follinger Auditorium on the Quad in University of Illinois in Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Those are just some of the performances going on in our listening area. Feel free to tell me about events you may know about. Write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu, willcalendar@illinois.edu. Support for Live and Local today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. We'll have showers and isolated thunderstorms this afternoon with a high of 62. Showers likely this evening with a low of 43. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy and breezy with a chance of showers and a high temperature of 58 degrees.